Tell you something. I like that. It's fine. But if some of you guys would do that during preaching, I don't know, maybe get like a day pass from your mama to shout during preaching. Boy, that'd really help me. It really would be a blessing. You can go ahead and be seated. All right, let's stand, please. 1 Kings chapter number 19. It is good to be in chapel this morning, and I'm honored to be with you. And I've enjoyed the service so far. And appreciate all the congregational singing and the special. That is Lincoln's favorite song. And we sing that in the van sometimes, and he'll sit back here, you know, and praise and worship a little bit. But anyway, I like that. That was good. And I've had a good day today so far, so don't ruin it. All right? We're going to have a good time in chapel. But I am honored to get to speak to you for a little while this morning. Praying God will speak to your heart about this truth that God used in my life. 1 Kings chapter number 19. We're going to read a few verses. Then we'll read all of Psalm 119, just to sort of get in the spirit of everybody okay? Well, you're going to have to wake up. I'm telling you. All right, 1 Kings, chapter number 19, verse number 8. Well, let's read just for context. We'll start in verse 8, but just for context, Elijah is discouraged, and he's been under the juniper tree. Now, the juniper tree gets a bad connotation because of what Elijah was doing under it. And let me say this. It's okay to get discouraged, but it's not all right to live there. All of us from time to time might get discouraged, but don't stay discouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord and go forward. Verse number 8, the Bible said, he arose and had eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, by the way, God never asks us a question for his information. Sometimes God might ask you and I a question so that we can just sort of, we almost condemn ourselves, reveal to ourselves our situation. And that's sort of what's going on here. And the Bible says in verse 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, I like the strong wind. I like that. It's exciting. I like the earthquake. I love the fire. But you and I have to grow spiritually where we can survive with just the still small voice. It's not always camp meeting, revival, Pentecost Sunday. Sometimes it just gets hard. And we have to be able to rely on just that still, small voice in our life. Verse number 13, and it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of a cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Again, Elijah gives his spiel to God. He's the only one left. How hard it is. Everybody else is forsaken. And let's just jump down to verse number 18. God encourages Elijah with this statement. He says, yet I've left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I was in a preacher's conference 2 years ago in a place called Bath, South Carolina. Nobody in this room's ever been there but me and Brother Bertram. But anyway, we were preaching together. And I think he was preaching, so I was off in another book of the Bible working on some sermon notes. And but anyway, I had my little study Bible there. And I had written a statement in my Bible that I got right after I got saved in 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'll give you that in just a minute. That day, I wrote down another statement as I was reading in the book of 1 Kings. And then I wrote down a third statement when I read verse 18 in chapter number 19 of 1 Kings. And I'll give you all three statements, but I want to give you the first statement as the premise of the message and try to be an encouragement to you this morning. And I want to preach on this thought. Here's the statement I wrote down 14 years ago when I first started in the ministry. I wrote this down. I want to be Elijah. I want to be Elijah. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today, please. I pray for your power to preach. I pray you'd encourage these young men, young ladies. God, help us, Lord, to do what we can do, to be faithful, to serve you, to glorify you with our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The reason you and I have been created is to glorify God. I mean, the reason that you're breathing today, you're here to glorify God. With every part of my being, with all my strength, all my energy, every part, every fiber of me, I tell you what I desire to do. I want to bring honor and glory to God. Can I say God is worthy of that? God has merited that. God has earned that. God alone is the one who ought to be lifted up. And I want people not to say, what a preacher, what a person, but I hope they'll say, what a God. And I want my life to glorify God. By the way, that's why I'm here, and that's why you're here, to glorify God with our lives. We could take the rest of chapel and go until midnight tonight and brag on how good God has been to every single one of us. And God is worthy of us pouring our life out to bring glory and honor to Him. When I first got saved, I would read my Bible, and I was drawn to people in the Bible that did great things for God. I don't know about you, but I just did that. As I'd read through the Word of God, I'd come to somebody who took a stand, made a difference, did something great for God, and I thought, man, I want to be like whoever that person was, because that person glorified God with their life. And I thought, if only I could be that person, then I could bring glory to God. And that's just how I read the Bible. Whenever I read the Bible, I like to put myself in the story that I'm reading. And I'd read through it and I'd come to different... You see, I didn't get in the ministry and want to be a bench warmer. I didn't get in the ministry and want to be a loser. Hello. I didn't get in the ministry and want to be like the dead church across town. I mean, I wanted God to do something, not because of me, but I wanted to do something to bring glory to God with my life. And I began to read the Bible, and I came to different people in the Bible, and every time I came to that person, I was like, I want to be them. For example, I read about Noah in the Bible. You ever heard of Noah? Good, Bible scholars. I'd read about Noah in the Bible, and I'd read about how Noah lived right in a day when everybody else was doing wrong. Noah walked with God. He lived a righteous life, and God is about to destroy the world, but He uses Noah to build a boat, and Noah saved his family and two kinds of every animal outside of cats, because that happened, you know, no cats. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, he saved all these animals alive, and God used him, and I read that and thought, woo, I want to be Noah. Man, if I could be anybody, I want to be Noah. I want to build an ark in my generation. I want to do something to preserve righteousness in my day. If only I could be a Noah, then I could please God with my life. I read on further. I got to Moses. Man, I want to be Moses, not Charlton Heston. I mean Moses. You don't even get that. But anyway, I want to be, Brother Oxendine does because he's old. I want to be Moses. Man, I read about how Moses was put in the basket and floated down the river, and God gave all the alligators lockjaws, or crocodiles, I guess, so they couldn't eat him, and he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. Then God used Moses. He encountered a burning bush. From that burning bush, God spoke, called Moses into the ministry. He sent Moses back to stand before Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. And you know the story. They began to go out of Egypt toward the promised land. Pharaoh's on his tail, the armies of Egypt right behind, and there's the Red Sea in front, and Moses lifts up his staff. God parts that Red Sea. They walk through on dry ground, and all of the Egyptians get a bath that they'd never get over. And I read that and thought, man, I want to be a Moses. Man, I'd like to have enough courage and conviction and grit to stand before whoever's in charge in my day and say, you might think this, but here's what God has to say. And man, I'd like to be used of God like that. Not for me, but I want to bring glory to God. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here, to glorify God with our lives. I read on further and found a man named Abraham. Abraham followed God by faith. God said, I want to make of you a great nation. You go look for a city whose builder and maker is God. And he followed God by faith, and God blessed him. And I read that and I thought, man, I want to be Abraham. I want to live by faith and see God make the ends meet and God come through and God bless. If only I could be Abraham. Then I got to David. You ever heard of David? Good. David. I read the story of David. David was a shepherd boy. I mean, he was a faithful shepherd on the backside of nowhere in obscurity, wrapped in shadow. But one day, there in the valley of Elah, the army of Israel was gathered. They were standing there, and there was a man on that battlefield. They were scared to death. They were shaking in their sandals. I mean, their sword was quivering in its sheath. They were standing there, and there on the battlefield was a guy named Goliath. I mean, a big dude. I'm talking about 9 feet tall, had biceps like barrels, pectoral muscles like Buicks, looked a lot like just a big muscular kind of a guy. And there's David. He steps out on the battlefield and said, fellas, what's the problem? And they said, over there, that's the problem. And they said, man, that guy's big. And they said, that's right, he's too big to kill. David said, he's too big to miss. That's the biggest bullseye I ever saw. And David reached down and picked up a stone, and with a sling he killed the giant. And I read that and thought, man, I want to be a David. I want to see the giant fall in my generation when nobody else will fight. I want to fight. I want to be a David. Then I got to Joshua. Joshua was told to march around the walls of Jericho. And God comes to him and said, I want you to march around the walls of Jericho, those impenetrable walls, for 6 days. Don't make a sound. And they do it for 6 days. They walk around those walls. They don't say amen. They don't say glory to God. They don't say hallelujah. They didn't fit right in this chapel service. But anyway, I mean, they didn't make a peep. Or we have to pass a rule the girls can shout so we at least have some. I'm going to be hard on you guys. I really am. But anyway, then on the seventh day, they walked around the walls 7 times and then shouted with a great shout. And the walls came down. And I read about that and thought, man, I want to be a Joshua. And I kept going through and read about Peter and Paul and all these individuals. And everyone I came to, I thought, that's who I want to be. If only I could be like that. Not so I can get a Twitter following. Not so I can get some likes on my Facebook post. Not so you can Instagram me or whatever that is. But I want to bring glory and honor to God with my life. I want my life to be a billboard in bright lights that my God is God and He's good. And because of that, I was drawn to a man by the name of Elijah. I was reading in my Bible, and I recommend you try that, but I was reading in my Bible, and I came to 1 Kings chapter number 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we're introduced for the first time to a man by the name of Elijah. Now, Elijah will be ministering or preaching during the reign of a wicked man by the name of Ahab. In fact, the Bible says that Ahab sinned as though it were a light thing in the previous chapter. That means it got to a point where sinning was just easy. Can I say that's a dangerous place to get whenever you can sin and have no conviction when you do it? Ahab was married to a wicked woman named Jezebel. And here, don't worry, she's not here today. She won't, it's okay. But anyway, and they're just wicked beyond belief. They're legislating abominations. I mean, they're ruling in wickedness. And on the scene, like a wrecking ball, like a time bomb that just explodes on the pages of the Bible, Elijah steps on the scene. Now, the Bible calls him Elijah the Tishbite. You say, what does that mean? Have no idea. But he's from an area called Gilead. Elijah was a fervent man. He was a faithful man, sort of a funny man. He was hairy, had a leather girdle upon him. But he was a man that God used in a great way. And I read about his life and thought, oh God, if you just let me, as a young preacher, if you'll let me be Elijah, then I can make a difference. Then I can serve you. Then I can glorify God with my life. I want to be Elijah. I began reading and I saw here in chapter 17 that Elijah walks there into the throne room one day. There's Ahab and Jezebel sitting there. And Elijah walks up and he says, hey, I serve God. I'm talking about the real God, the true God. And because I serve him, I've got a word from the Lord. It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. I read that and thought, whoa, I want to be Elijah. Boy, I'd like to have enough courage to stand before political leaders in my day that are corrupt. I mean, promoting sin, and put my finger in their snout by the grace of God and say, here's what thus saith the Lord. I read that and thought, man, if I'm going to be a preacher, I don't want to be one of these soft, limp-wristed, pennywise kind of preachers like the guys on the front row. I don't want that. I'm just kidding. I mean, I want to be a preacher with some convictions. And I read that and thought, oh, if I could only be Elijah, then I could please God. By the way, that's why you're here. You're here to please God. You're here to glorify God. That's why you are created. I read down a little bit further and saw that God put Elijah in witness protection. He took Elijah and he sends him to a brook called Cherith. And God provides for his preacher naturally through the brook and supernaturally through some ravens. See, there's going to be no rain, but Elijah's going to have fresh spring water all the time. He's going to sit by that brook and have water to drink. And then God is going to send ravens by and they're going to drop him breakfast in the morning and supper at night. I mean, every morning, biscuits and gravy come from heaven right there to Elijah. In the evening, God is so good, he doesn't just send a baconator, but a double baconator. Every night there, it's California, I guess a lettuce wrap, I don't know. But I mean, there to Elijah. And he sits there by the brook and he's fed. And I thought, man, I want to be Elijah. I want to trust God and let God meet my needs. I want to see God put the food on my table. I want to see God provide for me. When everybody else says there's no way to make the ends meet, I want to see God come through and make the ends meet. Oh, I want to be like Elijah. Why? Because I want to glorify God with my life. By the way, that's why you're here. That's why I'm here. We're to glorify God with our lives. I kept reading and God let the brook run out. You know why? Chapter 17 is a big reminder. You're not supposed to depend upon the blessing. You're supposed to rely on the blesser. The brook went dry, but God provides for his preacher. he moves Elijah to another town, a town called Zarephath, and there's a widowed woman there. And I can see as Elijah comes to town, he walks into town with his double-breasted leather girdle on, and he walks in, and he goes up to this woman. This woman only has a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and he walks up to her, and being a Baptist preacher that he was, that's bad preaching. But anyway, he walks up and says, "I want something to eat." And I can just see this woman with her little bit of an attitude. "Well, I'd like to fix you something, but somebody prayed there wouldn't be any rain, you know." And he says, "Don't worry about that. God's going to take care of us. You make something for me first and watch God meet the need." And you know what happened? Whenever you scrape the bottom of your barrel, that's like calling God direct. And whenever she got to the bottom of her barrel, God began to bless, and he perpetuated that supply of oil and meal. And they probably even gained some weight during the famine. And I read that and thought, man, I want to serve God like that. I mean, I want to see God do what people say cannot be done. I mean, whenever you don't have the funds, watch God send the funds. Whenever there is no way, watch God make a way. And I thought, if only I could be Elijah, I want to be him so that I can please God with my life. By the way, that's why you're here. That's why I'm here, to glorify God with our life. Then I read a little bit further down, and that widow's son died. I'm talking graveyard dead. Stone cold turkey bone, graveyard dead, dead. I'm talking about Chapel Friday dead. Elijah carries that boy up to his room and lays him there, and he begins to pray to the Lord and stretches himself upon that dead boy, and all of a sudden that dead boy comes to life again. I read that and thought, somebody hold my mule, I'm going to shout just a minute. I went, "Woo! Hey, that dead boy, he's not dead any longer. Elijah influenced his life, and that boy that was dead's alive." And I thought, man, I want to be Elijah. I'd like to see dead things live again. I'd like to see dead college students live again. I'd like to see dead churches live again, dead marriages live again, dead churches live again. I'd like to see our nation live spiritually again. And I said, boy, if God would use me to be an Elijah, I'd like to be an Elijah. I'd like to see the dead live again. Oh, if only I could be Elijah, then I could please God with my life. Man, I loved it. I kept reading. And then I found out God took Elijah and he moved him out into the wilderness. And in chapter number 18, Elijah's been in the witness protection agency. In the meantime, Ahab and Jezebel have been running rampant and they're looking for water. And they're trying to find water so they can find some grass to feed their herds with. And there's a preacher by the name of Obadiah, who the Bible says Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now, I thank God for that, but I sure wish he would have feared the Lord a little bit more than Jezebel, and maybe he wouldn't have been working for her. But anyway, move on. He's out there looking for grass, for water, and all of a sudden, a silhouette breaks the horizon. Now, I'm not as spiritual as you are, so I kind of see it like a Western. Just pray for me. But I just see as Obadiah is out there in the wilderness and all of a sudden a silhouette breaks the horizon. You know what you do? That music. You know. A tumbleweed scaredly. I mean, just rushes across the pathway. And a man steps there. Hears spurs jingle, you know. He's got a big wad of big league chew in his mouth. And Obadiah looks up and he sees that man off in the distance. He says, "It can't be him. Oh, tell me it's not him. Oh, no, it can't. Is that Elijah?" And Elijah said, "It's me." And about that time, Obadiah's knees began to play Dixie, knocking together, you know. And he said, "Oh, my goodness." And Elijah said, "I've come to town to see Ahab. I want to see Ahab. Go get him." And Obadiah said, "I'd go get him, but I know what's going to happen. The Spirit of the Lord is going to lift you up and take you somewhere else, and then he'll cut my head off." He said, "No, I'm going to stay here. I have a word for Ahab. Go get him." I can see as Obadiah approaches Ahab, and there's Ahab sitting in his throne room, probably eating SpaghettiOs or something, just sitting there. And he goes and approaches him, and he says, "Ahab, I don't want to tell you this. In fact, I hate to tell you this. I don't want to be the one who tells you this, but Elijah's back." And all of a sudden, Ahab melts, you know, just scared to death. He slithers in there to Jezebel, and he gets his hall pass. He gives his man card back for an hour to go talk to Elijah. And she says, "You better get out there and talk to him." You know how it is. Some of you girls don't. You know how it is. But anyway, she said, "You go out there and talk to him." And I can see that as Ahab goes and approaches Elijah, and he kind of slithers up to him. By the way, if you're a man, just be one. Yes. Anyway, I can just see as he's slithers up to him, and where's Jezebel? He said, "You're the one who's been troubling Israel." And Elijah said, "You're the one that's been You're the one that's been troubling Israel. And he said, we're going to settle this matter. Enough of the shenanigans. We're going to figure out whose God is God. And I came to 1 Kings 18. By the way, that's like my life's verse, 1 Kings 18. We came to 1 Kings 18. And Elijah said, it's about time we have a contest. I want you to go get all those TBN preachers that Jezebel has working for her. If you can't take it, you're at the wrong place. But anyway, I want you to go get Brother Joyce and Sister Joel and bring them up here. And we're going to have a contest. He said, here's what I want to do. We're going to build a couple of altars. I want you to get those false prophets of the groves, the false prophets of Baal, and I'm going to have a contest. We're going to build two altars. I want them to take a sacrifice, put it on the altar, and pray to God, their gods. And then I'll make an altar and pray to my God. Whoever's God answers with fire from heaven, let him be God, and everybody else is a liar. Can I say, listen, Elijah didn't do this to prove to the false prophets God was God. He did this to remind God's people God is God. And can I say, that's why I want God to move in my generation. It's so that your generation, our generation, my son, we need a reminder, hey, our God is still God. I can see it here. And I really thought, man, I'd like to be Elijah. Like, had enough courage to stand up against these false prophets in our day. I mean, these people are just ridiculous. And we'll get into that here in just a minute. Feeling pretty good about it, too. But anyway, here we go. They set up their altar. These false prophets, they get their stones together, they get their wood, and they put their cow on it. And all of a sudden, they start their worship service. They dim the lights. They quickly spray paint the ceiling and walls black. They get their purple lights. I'm not against you using colored lights, but fellas, why you always choose purple? Could you not do blue at least? Could you just maybe do something without your wife's, you know, input on one thing? Just do something other than pink or purple lights. But anyway, they get the band up there, the front line singers, you know, and they start their... You know, they begin their praise and worship service. I mean, it's on. I mean, they bring out a little speaker. He comes walking out there. His legs are squeaking. His pants are so tight. Looks like he accidentally got into like the fifth grade girl section at Target. You know what I mean? And got dressed there. I mean, his legs squeak. It looks like his hair got cut. We always say with a weed eater. You know, he gets there. He's got a little bar stool he sits on. He gets out his journal because he's a journaler and things. But anyway, he sits on his journal. Has a little plexiglass podium. And he gets up there in his library. Inside voice and said, today I'd like to share with you. And they begin their worship service and no fire falls and they go crazy. They begin to cut themselves. Some of you guys can't take it because this is what you plan to be. Can I tell you something? I wouldn't do that if I were you. Hey, listen, they begin to cut themselves and cry out and bleed on the altar. And from the morning to the evening, they carry on and fire doesn't fall and pray for Elijah. He had a bad spirit. And I need you to pray for me. I think I inherited his spirit because he begins to pick on them. Maybe your God's on vacation. I don't know. Maybe he's tired. He has a lot going on. Maybe his ears are stopped up. Do they make God-sized Q-tips? I don't know. Maybe the bass player missed a lick on that run. I don't know what the problem is. He's just not coming down. I don't know what's going on. And he picks on. They go nuts. And fire never falls. You know why? Fire never has. And fire never will fall on a false altar. And I like what Elijah does. Elijah gets 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel, and makes his own altar, rebuilds the old altar. And he takes his bullock and puts it on there. Now, he's trying to get fire to fall and consume a sacrifice. He gets that bullock on there, and he says, listen, this just isn't fair. I mean, you guys have all these different false prophets and things, but still just not fair. Go get me some water. Now, I'm not the smartest one. Well, but anyway, I might not know as much as some of you know, but I think this, wood and water, not really conducive to fire. Wet wood, right? He said, I want you to go get 4 barrels of water, bring it, and throw it on my altar. That doesn't make good country boy common sense, but that's what he does. He pours it there on his altar. Then he said, I want you to get me 4 more barrels. Now we're up to how many barrels? Oh, it's a college. All right, good. 8 barrels. They dump them there on the altar. Then he goes and he gets 4 more. Now we're up to? Pretty impressed. All right, 12 barrels of water. That altar is drenched and soaked. And Elijah, he doesn't even stand up preach. He doesn't even sing a hymn. He just falls on his face with humility and he prays and beseeches God. And all of a sudden the fire falls on that altar and consumes it. And I read that and thought, man, I want to be Elijah. I want to have that kind of prayer life. I want to be able to get a hold of God so that the fire can fall in my generation. Hey, I don't want to be with those false prophets. I want to take a stand for God and see the fire fall. And I read that and thought, man, if only I could be Elijah, then I could please God with my life. I went on further and I read where Elijah got to call Elisha in the ministry. I mean, Elijah was used to influence a younger man to follow in his footsteps, pick up his mantle, and fill in the gap. And I thought, man, God, I'd like to be used like that. Not so you can walk around and tweet it and say, boy, look at me and look what I've done, but for His glory. That's why we're here, to glorify God. If God would just let me influence some younger men to not sell out and to be old-fashioned and to just follow in the footsteps of those who've gone before us, I want to be Elijah. Then I read where Elijah was sitting on a hill one day and three different groups of 50 soldiers came to put him in prison. The first group of 50 came and they got, fire came down from heaven and they got fricasseed, you know. The second group of 50 came and they got grilled, fire came down. And the third group of 50 came and got sins and left him alone. I read that and thought, man, I'd like to be Elijah. And then I kept on reading and I read where Elijah got to ride a hot rod to heaven. I don't know how you want to go, but I'd take it. I mean, he's riding a Ford, whatever, it doesn't even matter. As long as it's got the oval, it'll make it to heaven. I know our bathroom down in the staff room is all Chevrolet. It's horrible, but it is fitting for a bathroom. But anyway, so don't tell Pastor Treiber. If you tell him, I'll deny it. Turn the camera off. But anyway, he got to ride that hot rod to heaven, and I thought, man, I want to be Elijah. And I meant that. And as a young man, I mean, 21 to 22 years old, starting in the ministry, I thought, if only I could be Elijah. Here's what I mean. I thought, man, if only I could be Oliver B. Green, then I could please God with my life. I need to preach like that. I want to write books like that. I want a radio broadcast like that. If I could be him, I could please God with my life. If only I could be Lester Roloff, although I like coffee and I like deodorant. But anyway, if only I could be Lester Roloff, then I could please God with my life. I thought if I could be Jack Hiles and build a church of 30,000 or so people, maybe then I could please God with my life. I've got to be that. I want to be that. If only I could be B.R. Lakin or some of these other men, a Tom Malone. If only I could be that, I could please God with my life. And that's what I wanted, to be like Elijah, to be like somebody like that, because I wanted to glorify God. But here's a statement I wrote down when Brother Bertrand was preaching. He wasn't preaching, really. But here's a statement I wrote down. I wrote down so many years ago, I want to be Elijah. But I don't try to be discouraging, but here's the next statement I wrote down. After 12 years later, I can't be Elijah. I don't want to disappoint you and me, but I've never once prayed and fire fell. And a lot of churches around America should be happy that I cannot do that. About point number two, you know. I have never been able to stand before a king or even a president up to this point and tell them, hey, here's what God has to say. Now, I'd like to, and it might happen one day. I don't know, but I can't be Tom Malone. I might not ever build a church of 30,000 people. Hello? I might not be Billy Sunday or somebody like that. I can't. But then I got to 1 Kings chapter number 19. And I read the last verse that we read together in verse number 18. And I found where Elijah's discouraged. And Elijah seems to think he's the only person left. And God encourages his discouraged preacher by mentioning some folks whose names are not even mentioned here in this verse. And he said, Elijah, listen. He said, I've got 7,000 in Israel. All the Nisrites have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. You know what I like about that? I wrote down another statement when I got to that verse. Here's my first statement. I want to be Elijah. My second statement, I can't be Elijah. But my third statement was this. I can be me. And if I'll be faithful, I can please God as much as Elijah did. And here's what I found out. Elijah's preaching in the spotlight, but they're still standing there in the shadows. Elijah's making a difference. A lot of pages in the Bible given to Elijah. But God knew exactly where these men and these women were. And they were faithful. They hadn't sold out. They hadn't bowed their knee. They hadn't given in. I mean, they were still standing for God. And God encouraged the one in the spotlight by telling them there's a lot of folks in the shadows just as faithful as you are. And listen, you might be here today. You might not ever be who you want to be. But you can be you by the grace of God. And God created you to be you. And all of us have the same ability to please God and glorify God. You might not ever preach like whoever. You might not can sing like whoever. You might not pastor. You might not do this or that. But whatever it is in the will of God that you can do, do it for the glory of God. And you can please God as much as anybody else. God doesn't call everybody to travel around and preach. God doesn't call everybody to pastor a church this big. God doesn't call everybody to run a college. God doesn't call everybody to do that. But all of us have something we can do for God. God created you on purpose for a purpose. God gave you your hands for a reason. God gave you your eye color for a reason. God gave you your hair color, if you haven't changed it. Your hair color for a reason. The only thing that is your fault is your waistline. That's on you, bro. Everything else is God. But anyway. And I think if we're not careful, we get discouraged because we live in a social media age where we compare each other against each other's false realities. And I know a lot of younger men in the ministry especially get discouraged because they don't have 400 in their church. And this guy seems like the doors are getting, and the walls are busting down. I mean, he can't fit him in the building. But God didn't call that man to be there. He called him to be where he's at. And can I say that is not real what we see there. I told him the other day in Sunday school, social media is not real. And I can prove it to you because some of you ladies I'm friends with on Facebook, and you don't have beards in your profile picture. And you have them in chapel today. I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's just not real.
Yes.
It's a false reality. But I want to try to encourage you to say this. You just do what you can do for God. And give it all you've got. And watch what God does with your life. If God would have wanted another Jack Hiles, he would have created one, but he didn't. He created you. If he would have wanted another Billy Sunday, he'd have made one. He could do that, but he didn't. He wanted you. If God wanted another Fanny Crosby, let me find a lady. He would have created one, but he didn't. He created you. You see what I'm saying? You're here for this time for a purpose. Boy, I'm not preaching pro-mediocrity. I'm not saying don't strive to do great things for God. But I am preaching this. You ought to be content with who God created you to be and do what you can do with the ability God's blessed you with for the glory of God. Because if you don't, you will get discouraged. You will probably quit. But if you can get comfortable and say, you know what? I'm Justin Cooper. That's who I am. I'm not Jack Treber. I'm not Brother Everton. I'm not Brother thank God for that. I'm not Brother Hoxendine. I'm not old man Hoxendine. I mean, you know, that's not. I'm not Brother Lewis, though he and I are brothers, just separated by a couple years or so. Twins, actually, no twins. But anyway, I'm not him. From another mother, right? But anyway, I'm me. But listen, you're you. And fellas, just be you. Do what you can do for God, and we can make a difference. I want to be Elijah, but I can't. So I'll just be me and try to please God with my life every single day. Why am I here? To bring glory to him. Let's pray. I pray God encourage.